Well, we're going to go back this morning in our teaching, entitled it, What is Faith? We're looking at areas of faith, really. There's many things over the years. I remember growing up as a young boy in the church, there was much said about faith. But when it came down really to it, faith was a term that people lots of times used when they didn't know what was going on or never had a clue what was going to happen. And they'd say, well, we're just trusting God and we're doing, but they had no idea. And whatever come along, they bought it as God. Because, well, if God wanted it in my life and things, and they did all those things and, you know, and but it's to understand faith and what it is. And I want us to go back over again this week. We're going to go back to Mark, the 11th chapter. We're going to be focusing again on this week. We're going to be looking at the thing because of something that said Mark 11, 23. But I want to read Mark 11, 22 first to you, because it says, and Jesus told them to have faith in God. It is in the King James and the New King James. The literal Greek, the Greek interlinear in your New Testament says, have the faith of God. Or you could say, have faith like God, because understand, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the word of God is where faith comes from. In other words, it's God's faith. That's what we get. It's faith like God operates in. It's how God operates. If we go back to the beginning, look at the book of Genesis, God operated in faith to create the earth. He called things that didn't exist as though they did. And so we want to look at these things. In Mark 11, 23, it says, for as Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, in other words, I'm telling you the truth, this is the truth. In other words, this is a principle or a law of the kingdom. We looked at last week the fact, faith is a law. And it's a law, we understand this, that you can't please God without following this law. We looked last week over in Romans, it said the law of faith, talked about the law of faith. You can't please God unless you follow the law of faith. And so, there's a thing that, the church world, the idea of faith is sort of like something you throw a dart at or something, you know, the hope works out. If faith is something like they say, sometimes God says yes, sometimes says no, well then therefore faith is not a law. It's just, Las Vegas without the dice. That's all it is. Most of the church is Las Vegas without the dice. That's Christianity. They have no law of faith. Understand, if something's a law, laws work all the time. You know, just cause you get in an airplane and that airplane takes off and flies down the runway, the law of gravity don't stop. The reason that thing flies is because of other laws, but the law of gravity is still in effect. It never changes. The law of faith never changes. And if I can't please God without it, then number one, the law of faith has to be super high on the level of what God wants you to understand. Has to be super high, because nothing else has ever said that if you don't, you can't please God unless you do that. The law of faith. So we want to find out, we need to understand how it works. Mark 11, 23 says, Jesus said, surely I say to you, I'm telling you the truth, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now we understand this, and I want you to look at it, because our real emphasis is into this area. I talked some last week about it. We want to look at it further today. He said, concerning the person says something to the mountain. He says, be cast in the sea. But he makes a statement. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says is going to come to pass, or it's going to happen. Then he'll have it. But you need to understand, it said in your heart, you can't have doubt in your heart. And you need to understand this. Your confession is not guaranteed to come to pass. Your confession has no guarantee to come to pass unless you're believing in your heart and don't have any doubt. You can confess all you want to and call it faith, but if there is doubt in the heart, it will not come to pass. At least God can't bring it to pass. And we need to understand this. One of the things that you've heard me say many times in dealing over the areas with healing and now in teaching in faith is the idea that people sort of get into their mind about how faith and its its operation, and they get over here, well, I'm going to make a confession, we're going to bring this thing to pass, and they don't really deal with their heart. Number one, you got to deal with your heart. It's like Mike made mention this morning, they want to get a vehicle. Well, they got to know in their heart. You need to understand this. They can't operate in faith till they know in their heart what to do. Most Christians don't know in their heart what to do, and they go on a faith venture, and that's why it fails the most of the time. You can't go on a faith venture till it's settled in your heart. Faith is of the heart. We find out here, if there's doubt in the heart, you can't doubt to bring faith to pass. You can't have doubt in your heart and bring faith to pass. Now, I'm not talking about have doubt in your head. Thoughts can come to your mind. Things like that can go on. Faith is the place where you go to rest, and that's in your heart. I can be in a time of trouble, and still in my heart, I'm at rest and peace, and on the outside, there's turmoil going on. But inside, most people, the failure of most people, people worry because they don't have any rest on the inside. They never arrive at faith. And they're trying to have rest. They're asking, God, give me peace, while in the inside, I'm full of doubt. It won't work. It won't happen. I've learned a long time ago, through some, you know, missing it here and there, is learning. When you're going to step out in faith, when you're going to make a faith confession, if it's really a faith confession, then your heart has no doubt. If you're still doubting, what you're saying is not producing anything. It's not producing nothing. It can't bear fruit. We're going to look at what the Scripture says about this thing. We'll look at it. And we need to look at these things. So we do understand. We're going to talk eventually. We're going to talk about the importance of speaking and what we're saying. But God wants me to deal with you today, and it's been, this has been on me, is talk about this. Normally we don't teach a whole lot about this. Lots of times when faith's taught, people just take it to an area of confession. And too many Christians today aren't in contact with their heart. They're inside, the real them. That's where faith generates. That's where faith comes from. That's the new man. The Holy Ghost is in communion with my inner man. He's not in communion with my head. The Holy Ghost don't talk to my head. He don't do that. He's on the inside of me. He communes and communicates to me on the inside. The devil can talk to you on the outside. All kinds of things can talk. This is the great safety that we have. If on the inside, if you come in contact on the inside, you have the safety to hear God. If you're listening to what goes on the outside to try to hear from God, if this works out or that works out, then it's God, you know? If everybody says they like me today, God, then I know that's you talking. Well, I'll tell you, the devil will send people to lie to you. You can't go by none of that. It's on the inside. And so you want to go to the inside. That's where you want to be. So we want to really is the first ingredient of faith. If we're going to talk about ingredients, what we talked about before, that the children of Israel, they didn't mix faith. The first ingredient is believing in your heart and having no doubt. That's the first ingredient of faith. You're not at faith. You aren't at faith till you're ready. You aren't ready to speak an actual faith confession. Nobody ever got born again who had doubt in their hearts that Jesus was Lord. I don't care. You can make a confession. You can have people. We have the churches are full of people today that are not born again who have made confessions, and they don't. Jesus ain't their Lord. If they die today, they're going to go off to hell. But we've convinced them they're all right. They need to be convinced. I know I'm born again because of the witness of the Spirit in me. If I'm not in contact with the witness of the Spirit in me, I have no confidence that I'm born again. But see, we turn around and we have this thing. Well, if you just say this prayer, number one, if you don't believe it and don't doubt in your heart, you just wasted your time. We need to understand. We have such today, bringing people to Christ is such a slothful, sloppy. It's because preachers don't understand faith. And the faith preachers seem to don't understand faith anymore. I don't know what happened. They've gotten out of line on stuff and talking junk. You know, people have moved away. We've got to come back to the Word. The safety is the Word of God. The safety of the Word is your security that holds you, that no matter what happened, you can be in the middle of turmoil, but you got God's Word in your heart and you're stuck on it. You will be delivered. You will make it through. You will go to the top. It can't turn out any other way. Nobody ever walked by faith and it didn't work. That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. Faith always works. Nobody ever believed in her heart and didn't doubt and confess Jesus as Lord and didn't get saved. That never took place. Those things take place because men and their preaching their ideas and their convictions and what they think will work. And somehow they've gotten twisted and think, that what they're saying is God. When you look in the Word, it's not God. Get God's Word. That's our safety, getting the Word of God in us. Now, I want you to see in Proverbs, the third chapter, I want to read you some scriptures here. I want to read you something that really goes along with this here, this about getting in your heart and the Word in, is the importance of believing the Word and don't doubt. Proverbs, the third chapter, in verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't that sound like don't have no doubt in there? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then it says this, don't lean and lean not on your own understanding. You don't lean on your own thinking. See, you come to the thing, you get the Word of God in you and get no doubt. Don't lean on your thinking. Don't lean what's going on. Outside, all kind of things can come to you. People can come and say something, directly opposite of the direction that the Word tells you to go. And people can come and say, you need to do this or you need to do that and this and that and the other. I'm going to tell the devil to come along and say, you know what? People are going to think you crazy if you walk in. People are going to think you're weird. Well, get over it. You will be. If you're going to walk in the Word today, you're definitely going to be weird. You're definitely going to be weird. Because you're going to have Christians line up down the block and around the block and two blocks down coming to tell you you're weird. You'll get preachers will come tell you weird. You follow the Word of God. I've been told I take things too literally when it comes to the Bible and comes to God. Thank God. I thought it was the biggest compliment I ever got. Say, thank you. I'm glad you said that to me. I know I'm on the right track and I know you're not. Hallelujah. We got it figured out now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just think it's nice when they compliment me like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't lean into our understandings. Then this is verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. How do I acknowledge God? I acknowledge God by His Word. You cannot acknowledge God only in line with the Word. You don't even know what goes on around you if it would be God unless you can see it concerning the Word. How would you know? This is why you always want to stay close to the Word and stay in the Word. This is why, like in myself, if I'm around doing stuff, I get in the car, I got the Word of God going in the car. I'm listening all the time. Now, I know a lot of people, they listen to Christian music. I don't listen to a lot of Christian music. I don't listen to much music. I do my own singing. I do that. But I want to tell you what I do is I listen to the Word. I'm pumping the Word all the time to get the Word going. I need it. I need to keep myself focused. See, this is one of the things is keeping yourself focused. You can't grow up spiritually if you can't keep yourself focused. And you're not going to keep yourself focused when most of your time is spent listening to all other stuff. Look, we have enough of our life. We got to be around things we don't want to hear and don't want to be around. And when you get your chance to do something away from or listen to, and you don't do it, you're setting yourself up for a fall. See, I listen all the time. I'm always listening to things all the time, listening to things that promote my faith, promote me in the areas of walking closer with God, keeping things around me. I'll tell you, I don't watch the news and I don't spend time on that stuff. I don't, because I'll tell you what, I need to stay focused because, there's very little news on anymore anyhow if you're listening to it. 99% of it's opinion of what things had happened. And if you're listening to it and think it's true, you're deceived. You're deceived. You watch Fox News. They have all these panels and that stuff, sit and discuss this stuff. That's the last thing I want to hear them. I'm not interested in their opinion. If there's a problem going on, I don't want to know what God has to say. I want to have His view. Talking about problems don't solve problems. Rush Limbaugh don't solve no problems. He just keeps telling everybody what the problem is. Hey, folks, let's get at it. That's sitting and telling what the problem is. It doesn't matter. What it is getting yourself hooked up. What's the solution to the problem? Lots of times my solution to the problem is quit listening to people talking about the problem. That's my solution. And get over and listen what God says. You ain't going to have peace any other way. You can pray for peace night and day. You will never experience till there's things you have to turn off and there's things you have to turn on to bring you peace. You can't be listening to confusion and have peace. Dear Lord, I've got good at turning people off. My wife says I'm really good at that. I just turn things off. I said let people talk and blow their wind and that kind of stuff, and they're doing that stuff. I just turn it off. And I turn off, smile, and I can turn to my heart on the inside, and I can listen to God on the inside of me when somebody else is doing some other crazy thing. You know, it's over time. So the Lord taught me how to, and one of the reasons He taught me to do that was through going out and running. He taught me how, while I'm out running, to get myself focused, and I could meditate on the Word while I run. So many times, God, I could be out running, and God talks to me. I learned how to turn off the physical. He taught me how to, because you know, you can't always go in a closet and be quiet. You need to hear from God. It's all kind of people, you know. I remember the years that people say, I come to church and I need to get to church because I really need to hear God. Man, I need to hear God more during the week than I do when I get to church. My life's lived not in this building on a Sunday morning. And if I had to get here to hear from God, I got a problem. Because I need to hear Him out there during the day when you're in all the work and all the things going on. I need to be able to turn to God. Dr. Cho really helped me years ago when he was dealing in the areas of prayer. But he said this, he said, keeping your heart turned toward God all the time. He said, I can be sitting in a meeting, he said, with world leaders and my heart's turned toward God. He said, I'm sensitive to hear what He has to say. He doesn't fill himself with everybody else saying, God gets a voice in his life. Too many Christians, God never gets a voice in their life. And they think they're good Christians. But God never gets a voice because their hearts turn to everything else, trying to listen, listening to everybody's problems. I'm sorry, I don't know how to fix all your problems anyhow. If God don't talk to me, you're stuck. So get over it. You know, we need to hear from heaven. What we want to do is everybody wants a thing. If you listen to all my troubles, then you'll know the answer. I don't know the answer, but listen to your troubles. It might discourage me. What I need to do, God, what do you do about this thing? God, I need an answer here from you. You know, we got this psychology today. It's get everybody in the room with their complaint. And if you have a problem in your life, you've had a disaster in your life, you find everybody has the same disaster and all of you get together and talk about this and meet every week, you know, of the year, you know, once a week and get together and talk about your problem and they all feel better. Feel better? That's insanity. All they do is keep their problem on their mind in constant. Psychology, the craziness of the church, the insanity of the church. God never gave me a group fix because my fix ain't identical to everybody else's. There's not a group fix. We all go by manifestations, what happens on the outside. What happens on the outside is no indication of what the cause was from the inside. That's when the Lord spoke to me and told me, He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. Majority of ministry day is nothing but men treating the symptoms of men and calling it God and praying about it, wasting their time, and God ain't got a clue what they're talking about. Because they're not fixing the problems. God knows the hearts of men. I don't know the heart of everybody. Do you? Do you know what makes everything work? If you do, man, use a man, Jesus, step aside. Here I come. Dear Lord, we don't. And if God doesn't reveal things to us, we don't know. We don't know. And see, even with myself, lots of times, I'm just going to tell you, some of you here have problems that you've been dealing with for a long time. And you're 100% off base of what you think it is. If you ever got over and got let God speak to you, God could get that thing fixed. It gets fixed with Him. He knows you better than you. He understands you better than you. I had to learn to do that. See, when He said to me, I was like a doctor that only treats symptoms, He was talking to me about how I was dealing with me. I was dealing with me by what I saw, but not with the source. God deals with the source to clear it up. When I got born again, God dealt with the source of the drunkard. The source of the drunkard and the druggie was the guy that was living on the inside that was dead in sin. And God removed him and fixed that. It wasn't fixed by, you know, going to AA. For the rest of my life, I call myself a drunk. This man ain't no drunk. He ain't no druggie no more. That guy's dead. God could fix that when you get in contact with God. And this is what we need in the church. You know, it sounds like it's off base, but I'm going to tell you, we're dealing with heart issues here. Now, Jesus dealt with this subject dealing with Mark 11:23 and 24. We have Matthew said this, and just let me read this to you, because Matthew made a statement about the same thing. Matthew says something a little bit different. That's why we put them all together. You get a picture of it. In Matthew 21, in verse 21 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, if you have faith and do not doubt, if you have faith and do not doubt." Now understand this. You can have a part of faith, but there's also doubt there. You're going to have to deal with that. You can believe something to a degree, but not the whole way. He said, you have faith and don't doubt. But you can't have any doubt. He goes, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And verse 22. Now, I want you to say this because, see, some people come around and say, well, you know, they don't like the faith message, you know, they don't like this because all people don't believe for things. Well, Jesus said here, whatever thing you say. He also, we have in Mark's account, Mark says in Mark 11:24, whatever things you desire when you pray. Jesus brought up the things. So if some guy tells me I shouldn't be believing God for things, he's going directly against Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said Ed could believe for things. I can believe for things. You always get the people think they're spiritual. You know what? Faith, look at this. When I got born again, it changed the physical life that I live. If there's anything that's spiritual doesn't manifest over in the natural to change things, it's worthless. This idea, that's spiritual. You're talking about physical stuff. That's what the non-spiritual people always say. They always drag that. When I got born again, it changed my physical life. The more I developed in the Word of God, the more it changed me in my life about how I live my life and walk my life. Why? It's spirituality will manifest into the physical realm. If it don't, you ain't got any proof you got anything. This is why most Christians, I know they don't have a lot of faith out here, because their lives show it. There's not much change. Faith will change this life. We take a spiritual principle to change things in this realm. You can't bring heaven into earth without it. It requires spirituality to change things in this realm. If you can't change things, it's because you have a problem spiritually that you need to deal with. There's something you don't know or understand, or something you do know and maybe not doing, or whatever, but that must be changed. Faith in God will change things in the natural. You know, what would we call Jesus' ministry? He must have been very unspiritual. He ran around healing people physically all the time. He must have been a deadbeat spiritually, according to the people today. My God. I mean, he fed 5,000 with a couple fish and stuff. My God, what a sluggard he was. I mean, he just messing everything up. He was so fleshly. Well, you know, people get over into that. You get into that kind of thinking. If you carry those thoughts out, you realize how ridiculous it is when people say that. Spirituality, true spirituality, manifests in people's lives that can be seen to bring the glory of God. That's how it works. There's no other way to do it. If somebody got a better one, show it to me. I'd sure like to find out about it. And so, praise God. God's Word changes things. Glory to God. We have, though, in Matthew's Matthew 17. I want to read this to you in Matthew 17. In verse 19, Jesus said this, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?'" He's speaking a demon. There's a guy whose son was a demon. This is what Jesus said to them in verse 20. So I want you to see this. This is not something that Jesus made this Mark 11. See, a lot of people think Mark 11:23 is some isolated statement. Mark 11:20. It's not. Jesus talked a number of times to his disciples about this principle. Boy, but they were slow to pick it up. Here's what he said to them. He said, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So see, that principle, he was teaching them the principle of faith. Now listen, Luke, in Luke 17, in Luke 17 verse 5, it says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith." So Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So see, Jesus was teaching this principle to his disciples. And so this thing was being taught by him for his disciples. He, in different instances, he made these statements about these things. Now, I want to say this because he made this statement. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, because I've talked about this before, but you need to get this and understand this thing. He's not talking about having a little bit of faith. It has nothing to do. Jesus is talking about a seed. And a seed, we need to get a hold of this about seeds. A seed produces, like if you went out here and say you had an apple seed. Now, an apple seed's not too huge, but if you plant it, it grows up into a tree. An apple tree. It'll grow up into a tree. Now, that apple tree is actually in that seed. You taint that seed, cut that seed in half and put it in the ground, see what happens. Try it. Try and have a little bit of it. It don't work. It won't work. See, seeds can't be tainted. That's like in farmers. Farmers go out here and want to plant. They don't go out here and look for the cheapest seed in town. The one that's guaranteed to produce 60%. That 60% of your seed will show up. They look for seed that will produce. We understand we're dealing with the Word of God as a seed. We're going to talk about that. The seed is the Word of God. See, when somebody says, well, I believe God and it didn't work, I know that they're lying because they're saying the Word of God is a seed that won't work all the time. That apple seed, if that's a good seed, I put it in the ground and I water it. That thing will grow and produce an apple tree. It don't stop and say, well, no. No, I'm not. I don't want to do that. I want to be a tomato plant. No, it always produces. Everything produces after its kind. That's a law set by God. Everything produces after its kind. You know, people's pets aren't your kids. I don't care if people get mad about it. This trash in the church has perverted so much stuff. It has perverted so many things that now people are down to the level of animals. Why would we think they wouldn't act like animals? We teach them in their schools they're animals. The whale's more important than you, kids. We can't, if all the whales die, we can't make it. Ed Ken, stand back and watch. You kill all the whales and it'll still be going. The biggest lies, and they preach this stuff, and the Christians eat it like, this is candy, man. Let's eat this thing till we vomit. And they've been vomiting and vomiting and vomiting, doing this stuff. We have the Word of God, an untainted seed that is guaranteed production. It's guaranteed, the Word of God. If the Word of God doesn't work, Jesus Christ then is a fraud. He's not the Son of God. Is He the Word of God? Could it be tainted? Is He not pure and holy? Is He not righteous? See, when you understand the Word, it's like with me, the Word's first place. There is nothing to me that takes a higher position than the Word of God. If God's Word said something, I have zero interest in what somebody else says about it. I have no interest in it. You're not going to be my buddy speaking against the Word of God. It ain't happening. You can defame me and tell me I'm an idiot and I'm strange, but you ain't knocking Jesus. You ain't knocking Jesus. I ain't going to sit around and listen to that. We ain't going to have this false Christianity junk going on. We're following Jesus. It's not about having a little bit of faith. Listen in Matthew 13. I want to back up again because Jesus said something. Here's something Jesus made a statement about. In Matthew 13, verse 31, it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed is the least, or we could say the smallest of the seeds, but when it grows, it is greater than the herbs, and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now I want you to say, to understand this. Jesus here is not talking about a mustard seed, the one that they get. He said it grows bigger than the herbs. See, a regular mustard plant, they grow pretty much, they're an herb in the garden and people grow and get the mustard seeds. He's talking about a mustard tree. There's a difference. The mustard tree had leaves on it that tasted a lot like mustard, and it's got its name, mustard seed. Animals do like, you know, a lot of the animals eat vegetation, would like to eat those. They've been in the Middle East for centuries on end. They grow. And these trees grow down there. Now, they have a fruit that gets on them, and it's like about pea size. And the seed's in there. And if you want to plant it, the way to do it is take that seed and go let it just soak in water and soak in solution for a while till you break down the outer shell of it, and the seed is this really tiny seed. And you put that seed in the ground, it will produce a tree, and they grow up into trees. Those trees can get as high as 40, 50 feet high. That little tiny seed. You see, he's not talking about, well, if you have a little bit of faith. No, you have to have the right seed. Whatever seed you want, if you want to produce that tree, you have to have that right seed. If that seed is impure, you don't get a tree out of it. He's talking about planting a seed and not having some junk in it. It can't be something else. It can't be a mixture. And I want you to look at this because we need to get across to this into Christianity has moved away from a lot of things. Just let me know, this is a familiar scripture. Mark 9:23 says, and Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now he said that. Jesus did not say that everything you believe is going to take place. He said it's possible. You can believe things and it'll never happen. A man can believe Jesus is Lord, but if he don't believe in his heart, not doubt, and make a confession, he'll never be saved, even though he believed. Your believing don't come to pass just because you believe it. It's possible it could if you mix it with the rest of what faith requires. But it's not going to. All things are possible to him. It's possible. It's possible it come to pass if you carry the rest of it out of what the Word says to do. But if you don't, believing it's not enough. Believing something is not enough. Loads of Christians, I could go to churches and get people, oh yeah, we believe this, we believe that. Yeah, we believe it. But it produces nothing in their life. Believing don't produce a thing. I should get up in the morning and go to work, but I don't. Well, did my believing do me any good? No. The church thinks somehow they got to some epitome of something because they believe things. It's not enough just to believe stuff. It's good to believe it, but it's a whole lot better if you don't put that believing into faith action. It produces nothing. You have to do that. That's what we're teaching along here. Most people don't believe that. Most of the church world today, they believe, think because they believe something that somehow, you know, I believe God wants to help me. Is he helping you? No. Well, then what good does it do? Why believe it? Why believe God's good? Nothing good happens to me. But, oh, God's good, yeah? My parents believed God was a good God, but they went to a church, didn't tell them how to do things in faith, and a lot of good never came to them. It wasn't because God didn't want to. But they were never taught how to act in their faith and what to do with their faith. Just believing it is not enough. Thank God. Hey, that's a good start. But they had a lot of weeds thrown in there too. They had a lot of junk that was thrown into that. And we don't want to doubt. We dealing with doubts in our heart. Hallelujah. I want us to go over to Mark's the fourth chapter. I want to look at something here. Let's go over to Mark. Mark the fourth chapter. I want to start up at verse 10. I want you to listen to this. We want to read through this. Here's an importance. Because what we're talking about is you want to come to the place where you believe something and don't doubt it. Because now you're on the road to take another step and take another step, the next step of mixing faith to take you to the place of bringing this thing to pass. That's what you want to get to. But you want to come to the place where you believe and don't doubt. That's where you want to arrive at. In Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 10 says this. Now, Jesus had given the parable of the sower. Now, he's going to talk to him about the answer of it, but I want you to get this first. He said, verse 10, he says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12, and see, there was more of Jesus than just the 12 disciples. There were others who followed him. He said to them, he said, ask about the parable. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see and see and not perceive, hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Now, number one, he said to this group, it's for you guys to understand. Now, I want you to think this. Did Jesus not want those other people to know? No. Jesus is making a statement of fact because of what they did. Jesus spoke in a parable, and they didn't understand it, and they didn't go to even try to check out what it was about. They just walk off. That's what you go most of the church world. That's most of the church world. This is why stuff don't work. People sitting here don't understand it. They walk out the door. You know, here's what concerning the parable of the sower. Listen to this. In Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away that was sown in their heart. This is he whose seed receives seed by the wayside. If you don't understand it, the devil will take from you what you got. He'll take it. He'll come and take that out of there, that hearing what you heard out of you. He'll come and steal that thing. Not understanding. See, the whole thing, you got to gain understanding. If you go down through the scriptures, that's what the Bible says, seek and you shall find. It didn't say, if you want to know, God will just tell you. You got to seek. You got to search. See, this is one. There's a difference. In the church world today, we have few disciples, very few. We have very few people who are seeking after anything. They want what's easy. If I can go to church a few minutes and get it, you know, if I go down here, go up, order to drive through and just come through, hand me the bag on the other side, I'm going home, I have stuff to do. That's the church of America. The church in America is identical. But they've been trained that way. They got ministers who brag about their 15, 20-minute sermons and how, oh yeah, we don't keep you all day so you can go home and the devil can ruin your life. You know? We just love the devil, and we're going to help him destroy you as much as we can. And if we can send you to hell, I'm one of his best workers, we'll send you there. They brag on this thing. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to go anywhere with God, it's going to require of you. I don't know how to get in underway. I had to move my family from one side of the country to the other. How to go work 45 hours a week plus go full-time to Bible school to learn. People tell me busy, I just switch that one off. I'm sorry, I know what it is to be busy. I've been there. I even, during that time, even helped in the church and worked in the church. I know what it is to be busy, so don't tell me busy. I know what it is to get home 11, 12 o'clock at night, have to study, and then turn around and get up in the morning early and go to school, and after school, have to leave school and go to work. Did that 5 days a week, and then the weekends I had to work. But it's what you're going to go after. What are you going to go after? You're going to decide. This is why I got a I followed after Brother Hagin and I listened to his stories about the time that he spent going after things and going after things and going after things. And I just thought, I was dumb enough to think you had to do that, but I found out it worked. You get things other people never get. You go places other people never go. Because you can't go there any other way. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to make it happen. I wish I could tell somebody, hey, this is going to be a piece. Just sit back. You just listen to what Ed says. Look, if you don't spend time seeking, most of what I say will just... You might say it really sounds good, but we want to look at what the Word says. Here's what the Word says, the parable of the sower we're going to read. Now, number one, he says the sower sows the Word. I like what Mark said there in Mark 8:11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Now what we're talking about is the Word of God. The seed's the Word of God. What seeds are going to be planted. Seeds are going to be planted. Now I want you to get this about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is not about four different soils. There is only one soil, the heart. It's the condition of the soil. He's going to talk about four conditions of the soil. Four conditions of people's hearts. And he's going to, only one condition of soil, one produces fruit, all the rest of them do not. In other words, we're going to find this. There's doubts in there. There's stuff in there that stops the word from producing. There's things that will stop the word from producing. And they all have to do with us. They don't have to do with God. See, those people that heard the parable and they didn't bother finding out what it was about it, that wasn't Jesus' fault. You know, Jesus don't do what people do today, try to chase people around to get them to listen. You noticed I don't ever do that. I never do that. I'm like Jesus. It's a waste of your time to chase people around to try to get them to listen. You might as well just get down to the bar and have a drink. You'd be into less sin than you are chasing people around, trying to be God. People get all messed up out here. The thing is, God never called me to make anybody listen. God called me and anointed me, and what I'm supposed to do is have the anointing on me when I speak. And what people do with it, that's up to them. It ain't up to me. It's up to them. It's up to whether they hear or not. I ain't God last time I checked. So I'm not going to try to step over there. If Jesus couldn't get his own people to listen, what do you think the chance I'm going to force anybody into it? Jesus said, if you go and they don't listen, shake the dust off your feet. We don't. We stop, build a church, and have a ministry for them. And then call it God. Woo! Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. See, God wants to shake things up. There's just got to get, there has to come back to some reality about this stuff. Jesus, did you notice Jesus' ministry? He always stopped for the ones who wanted to hear. He never played time with them. The Pharisees come along to condemn, he'd just blow them away and walk off. He didn't stay around trying to get them to understand. He didn't get in debates. I've had people want to have debates with me. I tell them, dear Lord, you want to debate? Life has too much going on with sitting and talking to idiots that don't know nothing. Dear God, we could debate. Is that what the Word of God has come to, a debate? How sad, how sad. Well, in Mark 14, verse 15 says, these are ones. Now, this concerns the Word of God, the seeds planted. There's a seed planted, but we find out these are the ones that are by the wayside, the word of God sown. When they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word which was sown in their heart. And we had read to Matthew, it's because they don't understand it. I'm going to tell you what, it's just, there's things that have been going on inside my spirit. I know God's trying to bring something, there's some things that God wants to bring across to me. And I've just been really trying to push into. I know there's certain areas he wants to say some things to me, but I've been have to push and push to try to get this thing of what he's trying to say to me. And over the years, I've learned that what we want is, you know, I'm seeking God a little bit, and he tells me right away. He don't. There's lots of things that he don't. Laying in bed last night, I went to bed 11 o'clock. I thought, well, I'll go to bed. I'll pray a little bit, because I'd been praying a few hours before I went to bed. Thought I'd go to bed and sleep. Next day, I'll look over the clock. It's 1:30 in the morning. I still ain't to sleep. And then I woke up 4 o'clock this morning, and then just again praying and just. But there's things God saying stuff. God's saying things, and I'm praying because I'm trying to push in. There's things that He spoke to me about from the Word, and I know there's a revelation there that he wants to bring across to me that is relevant to what's going on today. I know it. But yet, somehow, I haven't hooked there yet. Well, it takes pushing in until I get there. It isn't his fault. He's good at this. You know, the Holy Ghost, he ain't a bad teacher. Sometimes we're bad hearers. And it's sometimes getting us at the place, because I found out that sometimes one of our greatest problems are the revelations we already have. And God can't show us another one because we keep measuring something else we know against what He's saying. And if we would stop that, He could tell us what it really meant. So the revelation don't come because I keep tying this revelation to that and it ain't the same. But I'm in my mind it is. My mind it is. So you know what? I got to get over there and pray sometimes till I get me turned off. Oh, God, that'd do you a lot of good, gets you turned off sometimes. Hallelujah. You got to get, and you got over there. And all of us deal with that. And that's where a lot of this seeking comes from. It is about our side. It's about getting us over so we can hear it correctly. The Holy Ghost ain't telling us wrong. He's telling us right. It's about us on this side. We're the imperfect. He's not. He wants to bring us to greater perfection, and He will. And it takes, I don't know about it. This takes work. It takes work. So, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just think the work's worth the time. Well, verse 16 says this, Mark 4, it says, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Have you ever been around Christians like that? But people got it. Oh, they got the word, they're excited. Oh, this is really great. And in a short period of time, it ain't great no more. They're off to something. They're off, you know. It says, and they, what they have, what's the problem? They have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation, in other words, when trouble, trouble comes, folks. Well, I thought, since I got saved, everything was just supposed to work out great. I thought, you know, that I'm believing the word and I'm going to face any pressure. I watch people fall like that all the time. As soon as trouble comes, well, that faith stuff don't work. I'm going to tell you, you don't have faith so trouble don't come. Jesus Christ said this, in the world there's tribulation or there's trouble. So get over it. If you think faith, you don't need faith if you don't have no trouble. I need faith because trouble comes a knocking. Things come knocking on my door I didn't want or ask for. But they come showing up. Faith is how I deal with them. When the pressure comes, that's the time when the faith gun gets out. That's the time to pull the trigger. That ain't the time to get out the Bible and start reading and trying to get some faith. You should have been doing that when everything was good. Then your faith gun would have been loaded and you could have shot. But it wasn't, so now you're trying to load that old musket that's rusty, been sitting in the corner, ain't been used. Don't know if the flint's any good on that thing or not. And you're out there trying to get that thing working and saying, I'm just trusting the Lord, and I hope this don't blow up in my face. I'm not knocking anybody. I've been there, folks. I've shot the gun, and it shot me. Hallelujah. I learned. I'm just telling folks, I'm telling you from experience. We're in a war. We're in a battle, folks. And there's only one way to win this thing is faith. Faith's the only thing that'll keep you afloat. Faith's the only thing that's going to keep you in peace and keep you in joy in the middle of the battle. Because faith, the Bible says, is a good fight. You know what's a good fight? It's a fight. But there's one thing, if you're in faith, you know you won. See, I can endure to the end because I'm a winner. Done read the book. I win. Faith always wins. That's why when they say sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no. Biggest lie on the face of the earth. Then faith's not a good fight. You don't know if you're going to get the end of this thing or not. You know if the devil is going to have a bigger gun shoot you. I'm sorry. Faith is always the bigger gun. Because the faith always wins. Faith in God's Word. This seed, if you'll let this seed come up. Well, tribulation, persecution arrives for the word's sake and immediately they stumble. What happens? There's other things in there, in that ground, besides the seed of the Word of God. That will not produce. It's a non-fruit bearer. It doesn't produce fruit. Now listen to what he says here. Now, these are the ones who are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things, enter in, choke the word, becomes unfruitful. Here again, the word was there. The seed was there. The first one, the seed never even got into the ground. The next one, it was just a shallow bit, you know. Well, you know, I got something and I'm just going to take off with it. I've watched people do that over the years. You know, I would go and you go to any of these meetings over the years where you have like, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to have camp meeting and different ministries have different things. It always attracted me whenever I'd go to some of these different meetings, you'd run into some of the same people who were going nowhere in Christianity, attended all those meetings. But they were always one of these groups that were, most of them were just shallow people. They loved hearing the preacher. They liked to hear the things about faith. They loved to hear the things about God. But when they go home, they don't do it. They go home because there's other things in their lives. And they never do the word. And next year, they're back and they're taking another shot at it. Well, I'm going to tell you, Don't bother going to the meeting if you're not going to do the stuff after the meeting. There's no point to it. There's no point to coming here to church and listen to the word and then go home and don't do it. It's a pointless thing. It's to put the word to work. That's it. Your success in life based on what you do, not what you know. It's based on what you do. If you know what's good to do and you do it, man, you got a combination of something that's good. Hallelujah. You're on the road to success. But just because you know and you don't do, well, forget it. And if you don't know and you go to doing, you're probably going to do the wrong thing. And this is why to get this stuff in line. But I remember running into people like that all the time. And they were always struggling in their Christianity, always struggling all the time. Well, they learned how to, especially they were these people were the best. They got around other Christians. They always had the Christian lingo talk. They had all of it down. And boy, you'd thought they're on top of the world. And you knew, these people are having tons of problems, tons of troubles. I'll never forget running into a Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. And I'm a young Christian. It's 1983. I've been born again for 3 years. And we're at Kenneth Hagin camp meeting, and sitting beside me comes in and sits down a woman and her son. Come in and sit down beside me. I found out a very large ministry. They were the heads of the prayer team. A very large, you know, so-called charismatic ministry. I'm going to tell you, till that week was over, I thought, dear God, the devil is in these ministries. They have them said, I never met anybody so messed up in my life and so blown out of... She said, started talking about all her problems. Dear God, I started wondering if she's even saved. She's heading up prayer team and she can't get nothing from God herself. Messed up lives, just squirrely as crazy. And I'm sitting there as a young Christian and I'm thinking, dear God, when I was a year old as a Christian, I knew more than she did. She's a head thing on a big TV ministry. And I thought, dear Lord, I never watched that TV ministry after that. Never watched them again. I just thought, this is insane. They know I put on a good show, but they don't have spiritual people behind this thing. Now, you can go and talk God all you want. You can go talk all the junk you want. You get a lot of people buy into you. But see, I found out what's going on the inside, and what's going on the inside is ugly. My God. That woman was so messed up, she needed deliverance, man. I'm going to tell you, she just messed up from her marriage and everything else in her life. It was just a mess. And they're praying for people? I thought, I don't want to tell somebody my problem that's worse off than me, what they might do with it. I ain't giving them my name and my phone number. Man, That's like saying, here, Lucifer, come and get me. Folks, it's good preaching. See, we wonder why things don't succeed and why things don't work. You know, most of you here have so much more sense than a lot of big-name ministers do. There's things that you already understand and know. They don't. They're heading in directions, loads of them. And they can't see what's coming down the track. They don't see it. Loads of them down here don't see what's happening. See, you don't know what's, you know, you don't have to become, being a big-name minister don't mean they know anything about God. You can become big today without God. Surely, look at the religions of the earth. I mean, you go over to India, the Hindus ain't diminishing in size. Have they got God? No. You can grow big things and do big things. Men can. You get around to preaching what people want to hear, you can draw a crowd, man. You tell everybody today they're all right and they're okay. You know, no matter what you do, they'll come and love you. They'll send you money. But you tell them the word of God, gets a little nervous out there at times. But see, we got to stay with the Word of God. We must be meticulous about the Word, because the Word is the place of life. It's the only thing, if we let that seed of the Word grow in us, we are guaranteed the production of the fruit of that seed. And there's no other way to do that. There's no other way to do that. You can't let these, and this is one of the things you heard me and I talked about this before. There's things in you you got to get out of you so you can believe and not doubt. If you have things in you, if there's things, just like he said here, is the cares of this world, worrying. Worrying is this. It's a very simple thing. Worry is a sign of lack of faith. In other words, there's doubts in there. If you have worry problems, you need to deal with that. How do I deal with that? You need to get down and just keep getting into the Word. Move away from the things that make you worry. You know, my mama was a worrier. And like I said, you know, told you, she was a world champion worrier. She was actually the captain of the Olympic worrier team. and she had trophies for, she had gold medals, man, I'll tell you. Line them up, worry team. Well, they worried about stuff, you know, just worry. One of her greatest problems was her worry. She would sit and listen to the news. And she would listen to things that would happen and go on and stuff that was going on. And then she'd worry about this. This is going on. You know, it was like with me when, you know, and I often thought about it because, you know, like when I was in Vietnam and that kind of stuff, you know. I can't believe people wrote letters home to their family and tell them about what's going on. My mom thought I was on a vacation. I never wrote her about nothing that goes on. Ed was always fine all the time. Had good sense, because I know she's home worrying like crazy. Anyway, she's doing worry praying, which doesn't produce anything. Worry praying don't produce nothing. You're praying about what you're worried about. What you need to do is get your worry fixed and then go to praying. If you don't get your worry fixed, you waste your time praying. Because you ain't praying by faith, you're praying by your fears. Lord, fix this because I'm scared to death. Lord, fix this because I can't handle it. Well, good luck. You got to get the word in you. That's what you got. If you don't replace that with something, you got, and the only way to do it is to get the word in you to drive that out. The Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Worry is something we're not supposed to have. I want to talk about this a little bit because worry is one of the greatest hindrances to faith. Why? People's faith don't work. It's worrying about stuff. Worry usually is a sign that a person wants to control something. They're trying to, I can't make it work. I can't get this thing to work, so I got to do something about it. You get the word into you. Said, I found out. See, I come out of a family of worry. Well, what I found out is the more I got the word of God into me, the more worry started going away from me. The more I got into the word and the more I planted that seed, more worry got pushed out of me. More things that hindered me got pushed out of me. See, you got to clean up what's on the inside, folks. See, people aren't doing that. Because we have here, these other seeds of these other things are on the inside, and you can't believe and not doubt because those things in there are causing doubt. They're causing doubt toward the Word. You know, they're the things that now become the most important. Those things come in and choke. They choke the Word out. The seed, that good seed that's in you. That's a good seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. But I can let the good seed in me get choked because I let other things enter in and choke it. I let those things become the most important. Instead of starving them out, what I do is start to feed them. I'm turning around and I'm out there putting the weed killer on the seed that God gave me, and I'm out here putting the fertilizer on the stuff that I shouldn't be, and it's a growing. See, that's why I say it. You get over, you just listen to the word and listening to the word. There's things I know about this I need to get out of me. There's things that hinder me that I can only believe to a certain point. See, you'll never go to the next level of faith if you don't identify what's keeping you from that next level. You don't automatically, because you're a Christian, go one step to one from glory to glory. Why? Most Christians hardly ever got on the first rung of the glory. They never even hardly ever got there. To get there, you have to change things. To climb up this ladder, there's things that must be dealt with. That's part of spiritual growth. It never changes. It never changes. To go from one glory is to step to another place. In other words, I get to another place. This is him. I need to deal with that. That I got to get that out. How do I get that out? Well, I find what the word is, the counter thing to that, you know. The thing that God says that is counter to what that says, you know? Because whatever that says is in me is wrong. And I gotta gain a faith in this thing and drive that kind of thinking out of me. I gotta get that away from me so I can come over here and believe. You know, it's like starting out. I mean, Wanda and I started out believing for money, and I told you guys, first time we ever believed for something financially, we'd be for $20. I mean, it might as well have been 1,000 to me at that time. Because to believe God, just let God bring 20 bucks in, I'm just like, whoa, my God, you know. We needed 20 bucks. Well, see, I had to go. When that $20 come in, I didn't automatically stop and say, you know, I can believe for 10,000 now. No, to go to the next level of believing, I had to come up. It took me time to get certain things out of me so I could get that seeds of faith to work, to I could get to let those seeds grow up in me to where they wanted to go. I mean, today, tens of thousands of dollars for Wanda and I personally, I don't even blink an eye concerning that anymore. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'd have told me that then, you might as well just shot me and buried me in the backyard. To me, that would have, well, we ain't ever going there. I couldn't see myself. But time to go from one glory to the other is like healing. Now, to me, healing went faster. I got a hold of healing. This, let me just say this. This is one of the things that you're always going to find. Money can be a more difficult thing, and it's like, and it's for this reason. Because money usually involves other people. And God got to go all past how many unbelieving Christians that He's trying to get them to sow something and to bless them, and they won't till He finally, we'll get this person over here as a giver to give it. You need to understand, if you're slow to give, you're going to always be slow to get. You're going to reap what you sow. If you're slow in your giving, if you're slow to listen to God, what He's telling you to do, and if you're slow, and you're one that He has to talk to for, you know, 6 months to a year to get you to finally do something, you're going to find when you go to believe for money, don't be surprised. It will be years before it shows up. You have to learn to respond to things. Folks, I learned them. I'm telling you from experience, folks. I'm telling you from experience. And it's not easy. I mean, the first time I believed for a car, and I decided I just set myself to believe for a car. Wanda and I told her, you know, we're believing, we set ourselves a car. And I had this greatest sense inside of me that that car, the one summer, that car was supposed to come, to show up that summer. It was going to show up, car believing for. Well, it came past, and I'm just going to stand with God on this thing. I had the biggest sense that car was supposed to come. Well, the following year, at the same time, I kept getting a sense, that thing's coming in, it's here. And a person came to me and said to me, God told me to buy you a car. I said, I don't doubt that. I had my faith out for it. I believe I received one, so it don't surprise me the car came. And here's what they said to me. Yeah, God spoke to me last year at this time, but I didn't obey it. Now, don't drop your mouth. God said, told you to do things, you never even heard it. Every one of us has done those things. Every one of us has done those things. Bypassing God speaking to us. And let's say God speaks to me, I just get in my heart about a certain thing. God ain't got to yell at me. He's on the inside. I can tell when He's talking. I know how to ignore Him. I've done that already. And so have you. Might as well say, smile and say amen. But like, oh my God, oh, you know, get over it. This is all about learning. This is all about learning, folks. God ain't nervous. Hallelujah. He's trying to teach us to follow. God wants the Word of God to produce in you. God's not like the unjust judge. The unjust judge never gave justice. Even when He did the woman what the woman wanted, He only did what the woman wanted because she nagged Him. Never tells us she was right. She just nagged Him. That's the government of America today. Our court system, if you complain long enough, they'll side with you whether it's right or wrong. They don't care. Just keep coming and we don't want to put up with it anymore. Give them what they want. That ain't your God. You don't have to nag your God. I don't push in and seek after God because I'm trying to get Him to do something. He already wants to do it. If I don't know what He wants to do it, I can't be in faith anyhow to get it. I can only get it. Your faith is limited to your knowledge of God. You can't have faith outside your knowledge of God. That's an impossibility. You can only believe as far as you know. You know, years ago, in the church I was in as a kid, they used to talk about blind faith, and that's exactly what it was. They didn't have a clue what God wanted. They had no idea, and they were trying to get something from God. There is no such thing as blind faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. My faith is my evidence. What I can't see in the physical belongs to me. It's my evidence. If you don't have the evidence, you ain't got nothing. You have no place to stand. And you can only have faith if you know what God's will is. See, the Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. When I found out what a promise is, I don't have to seek God and pray 2 seconds whether that's for me. When I found out, see, that's what the promise is. Why? Because it already declared that all the promises are yes and amen. So of course it belongs to me. I don't need to pray. Well, maybe this is for the preacher or this is for this person because they have that and maybe it's not for me. No, you have to go to some dumb church where preaches stupidity to get that one in you. The places where you go and they rip the faith of God out of you, tell you the seed ain't good enough. What I'm encouraging you, you need to get down where you love the Word of God, where you realize that, the Word of God will produce for you anything you want. It is the incorruptible seed. You need to understand this. When you got born again, your born again human spirit is the most productive place to put the Word of God into. There is not a more productive place to put it. But understand this, if you put wrong seeds in, it'll produce them quick too. It is so productive. It's the perfect soil. It's like the likeness of God Himself. You were created in the likeness and image of God. When you got born again, you took the nature of God on. See, we shouldn't have so much of this long period of time of bringing stuff to pass like people are doing. It's because of our unbelief. We need to get past this stuff. We need to get this thinking, religious junk out of us because our soil should be the most productive there is. If that thing's going to come quick, it'd come quick in my heart. Put the Word of God in it, it comes to pass quickly. God's not the unjust judge. He said He will respond quickly to His people when they call to Him. He said He'll respond quick. Well, if He's not responding quick, can't be His fault. Got to look in the mirror at the guy in the mirror and say, what you been doing, boy? What you believing? What's in your heart? Get checking. Look it on the inside. You know, you got to, because why? The Word. See, get convinced. I don't think we would never have as near the faith problems if we really got down to the things of realizing how powerful God's Word is. And when God said it, it's true. Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. Whatever He said, it's what God was talking. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, He'll give it to you. Oh, the world, the church has added more. They've added 27 paragraphs after that that weren't in the Bible. Why? So the devil got it in because to put you in unbelief, to make you think that seed won't work, that if you ask in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen. When we're teaching faith, I'm teaching you about faith in God's Word. Good soil we have here in the parable of the sower, the good soil, that good soil in there. He says about, what the good, but these are the ones sown on good ground. This is good ground. Those who hear the Word accept it. This is what you need to learn to do if you want to grow in faith. I got a revelation of this early as a young Christian. Thank God. I don't know why I did, but I did this. One thing that always stuck on me is the wisdom of Peter. Jesus was doing one of his little sermons that caused the whole crowd to leave. He was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He was talking about something spiritual, and unspiritual people didn't get it. But after he said that and the crowd left, I said, this guy's crazy, you know, talking about it. And he looked at his disciples and he said, aren't you guys going to leave too? And Peter turns around and says to him, where else would we go? Peter had no clue what he was saying either. But Peter had wisdom. Peter accepted what he said, whether he understood it or not. Peter said, where else am I going to go? You're the one that has the words of life. You got to learn when the Word of God says something and you don't understand it, say, it's the Word of God, it's true, whether I get it or not. If you don't learn to do that, there's a lot of revelation you'll never get. If God can only have everything explained to you right away to get you to accept what He says. If the Word says it. If the Word says it, it's true whether I understand it or not. I must accept the fact that it's God's Word. He'll give me the revelation. Worked out for good for Peter and them. They got the revelation, didn't they? But he could have left with the rest of them. This is what most people do. We have been taught and trained in our schools today. They don't teach kids to think. They just give them answers. And they end up being nothing but a bunch of dummies in life walking around and can't figure nothing out for themselves. You know, there's a difference between the United States and like Japan. Japan don't teach math like they do in the United States. Japan teaches math. What they do is they come in and don't give the kids the formula, and they give them a problem and they ask them to figure it out. They learn to start doing thinking on their own and finding out ways to solve that problem. Not in America. We give them the formula, give them the calculator and everything to figure it out, do the whole thing to them. One mouth there and said, why don't we have smart kids today? How can we have smart kids? We have teachers that have been run out of the same program. We're just passing dummy along. We're not teaching critical thinking. We're not teaching people to figure things out. My daughters would come home from school and they'd have math problems. I could sit down and figure out. It was unacceptable. Even though my answer was right, it's unacceptable because it ain't according to their formula. What stupid kind of people? They aren't interested in the right answers anymore. You follow what we have. This is the most important, is to follow my program that brings out dummies. Stupidity. This is what we've gotten to. See, when I was in the military and we're teaching electronics. I went through electronics schools and stuff and working with communications in the fields and stuff. And that's what I did when I was in Nam. And that stuff. See, they taught us, they gave us all the theory and all the stuff and things like that. They even gave us some theories in engineering and all that stuff. But what they want, they say, look, we can't give you everything. You know, you got to learn that when a problem comes up, you got to think through this thing. You got to try to find a way. You find an answer for this thing. You got to keep this communications up, so because it's needed. So you have, like with me, the class that I was in, we were fifth echelon maintenance. We were allowed to do anything to changing equipment to make it combat serviceable. Man, we learned to do a lot of things that weren't in the books, but we learned. Because they taught us, and they would take us, and how they taught you that, they would take us and put us on equipment and have problems in that equipment, and you wouldn't know about it or have it. You never had that problem before. You never faced that thing. And they would put you on to see if you could find out what was going on and what's happening. They would teach you by doing things. They taught you to think. Today, everybody wants everything. Give me all the answers. I need to have everything, you know. They teach tests today. They go down through and teach the test. Why? Because they taught the kids to be a bunch of morons and idiots. They told them, you don't have to know nothing, learn nothing. You just keep, here's the answers to the test, and we'll just keep going over the test and going over the test. So you come and take the test, and the kids walk out the door, and they don't know anything. And they show up for a job, and they can't even fill out a job application. I've been in it. When I worked at Reese Candy Company, we have high school graduates come out, could not fill out a job application. And they have their little thing there that says onto them that a high school graduate, my words, it might have been from a kindergarten. It couldn't have been better, because probably most kindergarten kids are smarter than that. They have to go to high school to get really dumb. People might like I have to say, but I'm going to tell you what. We're in a serious problem. You understand, God will not teach you like that. God will make you go after things to find out what it is. God don't want you to be some robot where you sit down and become a non-thinker. He never intended any of that. You can use your mind for the Word of God, and you can learn to reason things out. If you don't come to that place, there are certain places you'll never walk in with God. You'll never come to the place where He told me years ago, when he did it to me, it really surprised me. He said to me, I asked Him about a certain thing. He said, well, how do you want it to turn out? What do you want? Whatever you want, I'll do. Well, I realized that what He had done is He knew that I had walked in the Word enough in an area that I could make a right decision about it. Because he didn't throw that out on me when I was back down there, you know, not knowing a lot of the Word about stuff. But God wants you to come up where you're a worker together with Him. So if He has to dictate to you all the time, it's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of immaturity if He has to dictate. You ought to be able to come up with some answers of your own. There's things I don't have to pray and seek God. I have enough reasoning to know, and I know how His character is. I know what He'd do. It's a sign of maturity. You come up and you start maturing. Now, I'm sure there's people out here that He can probably have them deal with a lot bigger things than He can with me. But it's because of levels of maturity. But you come out through that, and that comes down to this thinking, where you learn how to think on your own, where you learn how to let the Word of God dominate your mind so you can think right. But if you don't get it on the inside, what you'll have up here is all the reasoning about there. But you get this thing full on the inside, where this thing can get turned on to your mind, and your mind starts thinking the thoughts after the inner man. When sickness comes knocking on my door, I don't even think 2 seconds about the doctor. That is not even a thought in my mind. That's not the first thought. How did it get there? Over the years of drilling myself and listening concerning healing, well, the first thing I think about is what the Word of God says. That's the first thing that pops in my mind. Ain't something else comes popping in my mind. First thing that'll come out of my mouth is a confession. Folks, you get it into you, it's just like in the natural. You guys work on jobs, and you're out here on jobs, and you've been on them for years. There's things you don't think 2 seconds about doing. You just automatically know what to do, and you just automatically do it. Faith is identically the same way. It gets practiced, or it'll come so darn natural that you'll just move right over and bang in the areas of faith. See, and these people that turn around and don't do that and never mature, see, they're 10 weeks to 12 weeks trying to get in faith. So they can pull the trigger. I can pull my gun right out now. It's loaded. My healing gun's loaded all the time. My healing gun is never unloaded. When something comes, the word comes out. The word comes out. That's what you got to do. It just becomes natural. Faith is the natural walk of a Christian. You know what the Bible calls us? Believers. And Christians say, I just have trouble believing. Well, you're always going to have trouble. You said it. You're having what you say. You planted them weeds, and now you're running around and fertilizing them weeds. I'm having trouble believing. Believing is normal, Fred. It is the most natural things. I'm a believer. I've been created to believe. I don't see any place in the Scripture calls me an unbeliever. Believing is normal. That's the norm. It would be strange that I didn't believe the Word of God. Did you ever think that way? Most people never think like that. Most Christians never think that way. They're always trying to believe the Word of God. I just can't imagine that I couldn't believe the Word of God. Hey, he said he chose some that weren't too wise. I must have been the top of the list. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just encourage you folks. Get yourselves. Begin to reason with yourself properly. Get the Word of God into you. You see what the Word of God says. So I can mean, I have no thing in me to don't think I'm going to complete God's will, you know. Because the Word says, the good work He started in me, He'll bring to completion. Paul told the church that. Said, the good work He started in you, He'll bring it to completion. Man, when I saw that in the Scriptures, I thought, dear Lord, I got it made in the shade. As dumb as I am, He'll still complete me because He said He would. Now the weight of that thing's on Him. It ain't on me. All I have to do is believe what He said. And the good work that He started in me, He's going to bring it to completion. Glory to God. I looked down and said, I wonder how He's going to do that. See, I don't even have to worry about that. He's the guy who said He's going to make it work. My job is just to follow after Him. My job is just stay, get over in the Word, stay in the Word. Keep believing what the Word says. When something comes out and it looks like it ain't working, I'm saying, no, I'm sorry. The Bible says the good work He started in me, He's going to bring to completion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Hallelujah. I don't care what it looks like going getting out of there. There's a big guy inside of me. We were singing about resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of me. Dear God, watch I don't blow out and take the whole world out with me. Dear Lord, the same resurrection power of God's in me, and Christians are praying for power. Dear Lord, done read the book. I don't ever pray for power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got the Holy God, the Holy Ghost lives in you, and you think you need more. What on earth? See, you got to break that. You got to read those Scriptures and get into that. That's me. That's the Bible says it. That's so. You got to accept that. Quit accepting all your mess ups and failures. That's what we accept. We measure our how we messed up. But I just didn't do right. You ain't going to ever change that hanging over on that. You get the Bible out. You get the Word out. And the Word says this about me instead of what I say about me and what looks like me. It don't matter. What does the Bible call me? What does the Bible say about me? The Bible says I'm a new creation. I ain't the old guy. You know, most Christians are still living in their past of the dead man. They're still following the dead man. They limit themselves based on the dead man. Well, you know, I came out of this background, or I had this problem. When I got saved, that guy died. I don't have a drug background. I no longer have an alcohol background. Those are gone in the name of Jesus. I became a new creation. That's either true or not. I don't have none of that. That guy's dead. Jesus buried him somewhere. I don't know where it's at, and I ain't going to ask him where it is. We're going to let that one go. Because we got enough Christians out here with their shovels trying to dig up their past all the time of what they were. Well, I didn't come out from a family. Look, you didn't come out from any more religious family than I did. You ain't got no excuse for your stupidity in religion. Because if you give an excuse, you'll live there. Go ahead, give it. I can never blame my parents for what they did. I know better. I'm my own man today. I can decide to follow God or not. And I can't throw it back on them. I'm not joining one of those groups that sit around whining about their past and what happened. And we're all, we had this and we had that. Yeah. And now I can't do in life because, I had this problem and I had that problem when I was little. My problem in life was called sin, and Jesus fixed that one. And that's the problem of every Christian, going back over to sin days and live back in the sin days and call themselves by what the sin day said. You ain't no sinner. You were that. Thank God you're a child of God now. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God puts you in a place of authority that is so far out, blown out. What can we tie it to? He gave you the authority. Jesus Christ handed the church. Jesus handed all of his authority and put hands in the church in this earth for us to use. And the church is trying to get authority to do stuff. The church is trying to do things. If we'd only believe what the word says and plant the seed. Get that seed in us. Start saying about ourselves what's true and what's right. I'm going to tell you what. You'd have plenty of time to pray about a lot of things God wants prayed about if you get out of the prayer life about yourself. If you just learn what the word said, you wouldn't have to pray about you so much. I'm serious. Loads of things you pray about, folks, you ain't need to be praying about. The answer's already in the book. The book tells you what you got. What you're trying to do is praying to God to give you what you already got. And he's looking at you like, what on earth are they talking about? I blessed them with every spiritual blessing, and they're down there whining like you ain't got it. Woo! Folks, we all go through this. But you know what? You got to get to be where you're a fighter. The passive church stinks. The socialistic church is the devil in motion. You got to get where you just stand up and say, hold it. I ain't going to be drug off no more. I ain't going to be hauled off into something. The devil ain't playing this. We ain't going this place no more. Hallelujah. We're standing up. God made me something. I am something. I don't need anybody else to come and pat me on the back telling me I'm all right and I'm okay. I done read the book. Jesus already said what it is. Anybody else can say what they want. Will not change my mind. You know, Jesus likes you. Don't care what the rest of them said. He likes you. No matter what they're talking. God likes me. Hallelujah. Glory. He may be the only one. I don't know, but glory to God. You've got to get to that place where you come. It's more important than what he said. His words, his seeds are greater than what anybody else says. That's victory in life. You can overcome anything. Those words are the best. He said it. Hallelujah. He called me more than a conqueror. Yeah, but I look like a failure. Well, go ahead. Keep saying it. Keep thinking on your failure. No, he said you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. If he'd have called me the conqueror, that'd have been something. He said you're more than a conqueror. I'm going to tell you, Alexander, great, don't stand in the place that I stand. I'll tell you, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Alexander the Great could never do that. He was stuck to the physical down here, running around with his crazy Greek gods. Killed him young. The devil killed him young. Hallelujah. Praise God. God made us a conqueror in this earth. He made us people that can change the face of this earth. We can change what goes on here. We can change things around us. And the church is waiting for God to change things. It's in our hands. Let's stand to our feet. I mean, we could go on with this, and I don't know about you. Preach me happy, dear Lord. I'll tell you what, if faith didn't inspire you today, I think we'll just have a funeral afterwards and just dig a hole and bury you. Hallelujah! See yourself and what you are. You can believe God. God handed you His Word. There's nothing more great today than the fact the Word of God's been handed to you. It's been given to you. Jesus Christ said, you know, whatever you need, whatever you want, you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Could you imagine? What a statement. Now, I know, I would bet that the disciples staggered at that thought. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Because number one, they've been hearing the teaching of the Pharisees. They've been hearing the teaching of all this other stuff. Jesus comes along and said, hey, you guys, you're my disciples. You follow me. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Glory to God. You know God's going to give the answers, Mike. It has, like you said, it'll come. It has to come. It's got to come. You ask in faith, can't be no other way. It has to come. Or God would be a liar. That ain't going to ever happen. That's never taken place. That will never take place. Hallelujah. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it liberally. Oh, we say, well, you ask wisdom, and well, God may give it to you, but you know, just wait. And he said, God's liberal. You know what? It's the only time God's called liberal in the Bible, and even the liberals throw it out. When it comes to wisdom, he said, I'm liberal with it. You know, he is. Proverbs says that wisdom cries out on the street. God is always trying to give everybody an answer. Very few people ever get it because they never listen to the Word of God. The Word of God is crying out in the street. God's calling out to people. Wisdom is something he dumps out easily. It's easy. It's easy to get the wisdom of God. It's easy. He's liberal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you today. Hallelujah. Father God, we're a faith people. Amen. We believe the Word. And Lord God, when we hear the Word, we accept it. It's so. We're not going to look at it any other way. Lord God, you put the Holy Ghost in us, who is the great teacher of the church. And Jesus, you said specifically that he will take what belongs to you and he's going to show it to us. Hallelujah. So I thank you that he's not hiding anything. He's not holding back anything. His job is to take what belongs to you and reveal it to us. He has to be doing that. He's got to be doing. So he's revealing things to me. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I believe I'm picking them up. I believe that I'm picking it up. I'm believing I'm picking up the wisdom of God. I believe I'm picking up understanding of the Word. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, it comes quickly. Father, I want to thank you. You ain't the unjust judge. Hallelujah. You're the righteous God of the universe. You're holy. You can't lie, cheat, steal, do none of that. And you don't reward the wicked, you reward the blessed. Hallelujah. Those who belong to you, those who are righteous before you in Christ Jesus, and you said you would respond to us quickly. Hallelujah. We're not going to have to sit out there, Lord God, and come and hound you. And Lord God, I want to thank you, Father God. We can come face to face with you. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. I want to thank you. That's your throne. Your throne is the place where the righteous come. Hallelujah. Your place is where we come and we get our justice. Hallelujah. We come, Lord God, and we know, Father God, you're going to always do what's right. Hallelujah. And Father, even if we get out of line, you'll help us get back in line again. Hallelujah. We don't ever have to be afraid or worry. Lord God, Lord, you took worry from us. We can cast all of our care on you because you care for us. I thank you. We don't have a thing in the world to worry about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we just thank you today. Father, I thank you that 2,000 years ago when Jesus was rose from the dead, he had taken our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I want to thank you that by his stripes we were healed. I want to thank you we're a healed people. Lord God, not just something in our body. Lord God, I want to thank you we got good minds. We have the mind of Christ, hallelujah, which was given to us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ain't flaky and can't think right or walk right. Lord God, our minds, our brains, every organ in our bodies functioning properly in the name of Jesus by the healing power of God through the Holy Ghost that's in us, quickening and making us alive today in the name of Jesus. Health is the norm. Health is the norm in the name of Jesus. It's not something we're trying to arrive to. It's a place that we're at. Hallelujah. Healing's ours. Jesus took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He gave us a good mind. Hallelujah. We're just doing great. We don't have a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's who we are, the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're your people that are set apart for you personally. Hallelujah. We're the ones, Lord God, that are spending eternity with you. Glory to God. We're the chosen. We're the ones Jesus can't wait to get back here and take out with him. Hallelujah. To spend the rest of the eternity with him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. What a glorious God. Hallelujah. You took us in, made us your very own. Lord God, Father, I pray for each one today that the revelation of these things, Lord God, as they seek after you and they go after the word, Lord, these things will drop into their spirit. Drive out anything in there. Any seed that should not be there will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the wonderful, the seed of the word of God is going to blow up big on the inside. Hallelujah. It's going to spring forth quickly. Hallelujah. And bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And their fruit will remain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, the fruit, Lord God, got produced in our spirit. It ain't a one-time thing. It's a continuous production of fruit by the word of God in us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Father, you're so wonderful and good. We just thank you today. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for a people who are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. I thank you. This is a people, Lord God, that put on their armor. Hallelujah. These are soldiers, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. They're not some little wimpy things running around. Lord God, these are the ones, hallelujah, that have stood up for the Master. And they're in his army, Lord God. And they're walking in the victory, Lord God, that you have given them in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, when they come out and they step out in their faith, Satan and his cohorts, they cringe to think about these ones that walk before them, who know the word of God, who walked the word of God, who lived the word of God. Lord God, that's us. That's the church. Hallelujah. That's us walking in the victory that you've given to us. And I thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. These are your people called out, Lord God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't belong to the devil. Hallelujah. They don't belong to this world. They belong to heaven. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're precious in your sight, Lord God. Lord, they're not something that you lay aside. Lord God, they're something you pick up in your hand and hold as a treasure. And I thank you, Lord God, the good work that you started in them, you're bringing it to completion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will be glorified in them. Jesus will be magnified in them. Jesus will be lifted up in them. Hallelujah. And men and women will be drawn to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The glory of God will move. Signs, wonders, and miracles will become the norm. Hallelujah. Because of the glory of God in manifestation through the glorious church. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.